Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nikki T. And we have a special guest this week, Mr. Dalton Dover.
Double D, baby. What's up, man? Thank you for having me, dude.
How are you, bro?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Just kind of coming down from CMA Fest and about to get back out on the road. We'll be in Canada over the weekend. So I'm just kind of.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Have you been to Canada before?
Yes, yep. I have been. Yeah, I was out there early last year on radio tour. I didn't get to stay long or really see much of anything, but we was out there just, yeah.
Kind of hanging.
Hanging, meeting everybody and stuff like that.
Yeah. Canada's a crazy big country market, bigger than you'd think.
They love country music, man.
Yeah.
I love Same. Canada.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Agreed. Kurt's toured there extensively.
I'm going there in a few weeks, I believe. Don't ask me where, but somewhere in the great white north.
Before it gets too cold. Yeah. You know?
How was radio tour, man?
It was intense for sure. Yeah, man. We was all over the place. So like it went from like being at home every single day, you know, doing the TikTok thing every day.
Yep.
To like never being at home, never posting TikToks and meeting radio every day. I feel like I've been everywhere in the world at this point, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you have at this point, man.
Yeah, man. It's been nuts, dude. But I love meeting everybody. It was fun. And, like, giving up on that, like, I love that song so much. So it was cool, you know, going out there and singing it for everybody every day. So I loved it, man.
Man, it's cool. And that's what you hear is, like, you're to no one, then you're to specific people, and then you get to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's wild, bro.
It's super cool. And, man, I mean, building those relationships, shaking those hands is important because those are the people that are loving your music, you
Absolutely.
Know, and a lot of those too, like when you're doing those radio shows, you're at least getting on that local radio airwave. So they're getting a little local piece of you.
Yes.
Or sometimes even those radio shows.
Going back and playing shows and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's been crazy because like going out and playing these shows, like you see like who's playing the song and you're like, okay, you know, like they're singing, giving up on there. They're singing Bury Me in This Bar. They've heard it. You know?
Yeah.
They've heard it.
It's always fun too. Cause like, I've always loved playing the radio shows because you get all these artists and they're just on stools on stage with acoustic guitars. Yeah. So like all like the bullshit's like stripped away and it's just like the song and the singer, you know?
Heck yeah.
And so a lot of cool, fun moments have happened that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're doing like the 8-man jams or all that kind of stuff. Like
that.
At the time I went, it was me, like George Burge, myself, Cassie Ashton. Mm-hmm. Haley Witters was even out there with us at times.
Yeah, Haley.
Yeah, dude. Hey, Haley. Dude, no, man. We had so much fun out there. It was crazy.
It's stressful, I'm sure. But, I mean, just like everything, it kind of gets you used to that road life, too.
Like,
you know?
Before my radio tour started, they was like, all right, you ready? Like, it's going to be crazy. You're going to be going. I was like, oh, come on, dude. I got this, right? Mm-hmm. So then, like, 3 weeks in, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go back home. Like, Georgia was calling my name, man.
Heard that. I remember it's like a lot of hangs, late night hangs too, like
very late,
drinking and, and all that, and you know, but also a lot of steak restaurants and stuff, which is cool.
American Wagyu,
yeah,
American Wagyu, love.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the next morning, it's like 5 a.m. Lolly calls to fly to the next spot to go sing acoustic in a boardroom or do whatever, you know.
Yes.
It's a grind, man. It's tough. One thing I always thought was cool was when Darius came into the country market, he sort of did like a radio tour as of like a nod in respect to the genre. I thought that was really cool. Instead of like, hey, like my band was the biggest band in the world in the 90s. And like, so playing my music, it was like, this is who I am. Like, I'm here. I'm really taking this seriously. And I have a lot of respect for this genre. Yeah. So
it's like he probably done it all over again, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if like, again. Post Malone's going to do radio tour.
That I don't think crazy. That'll happen.
That would be crazy.
But he just played Bluebird.
I know. Yeah.
Last night,
so
right?
he's taking some of those steps, you know.
Yeah. Next he'll be at the Opry.
Yeah.
Make his
Absolutely.
Opry debut.
100%.
My buddy is Adam's. My buddy Adam is Post's photographer, and we were having some beers the night before that show at the Bluebird. And he's like, yeah, I got some gig tomorrow with Post. And he's from Salt Lake, and he's not a country. He doesn't live in Nashville. He doesn't know what the Bluebird is. He's like, yeah, it's like a riding circle or something. Or like, I'm like, rider's round? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, where is it? He's like, the Blue Jay, I think it is.
Blue Jay.
I'm like, you mean the Bluebird? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, you think
so
it would be
funny.
Cool? I'm like, Yes.
Dude, it's got to be weird for them kind of coming into this world and never like being here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been in music for so long, but country music's a lot different than...
And it has its own intricacies, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I'm sure every genre does, yeah, right? Does. But there's not a lot of places where it's so heavily here. Like, I guess pop is L.A. and New York, right? A lot. I don't know. I feel like it's more spread out. Where, like, if you think about country music historically, for the longest time, it's been here. So there are little things like where else would you have a venue that's in a strip mall that is one of the most most like iconic venues to go to and play? Okay. And it's one of those things that it's like it's a check mark on like, man, I'm really doing this thing, you know, bro. And radio tours like that.
It is.
Also, I think when Kurt mentioned just a guy and his guitar playing songs, man. You and a guitar is powerful enough to fill up a whole room.
Dude, thank you, man. I appreciate
for real.
It. Ah, man, I just... Growing up, dude, my grandpa had me singing at church really young, you know. So I guess from being a kid, I always wanted to be the best singer that I could be. Like, I always loved when people, like, would congratulate me on how well I could sing, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, and, congrats.
No, but, yeah, man, I don't know, man. I appreciate it.
Bro, it's undeniable. I remember seeing you play in a bar because I got to see you a little early on. And just getting to see that now getting to partner on the event with you guys with you and the label, it's just it's so full circle, man.
What event was that?
So we did an Outside the Round with Dalton a few weeks ago.
Oh, sick.
So he played full band at Live Oak. And
crazy time. Kurt, you should have been there, dude.
Kurt's been
busy. I was there in spirit.
Yeah. He's busy doing that day job stuff at stadiums, you know?
Yeah.
True.
I get him out here a few times a week, usually these days of the week. Yeah.
I got some weeks off.
That's true. Coming
Maybe
up.
We should go on radio tour.
Yeah. Get the radio show back, huh?
True.
So other than radio show, I know I got to see you down in Rome too for like little bit. And have you played a Rome River Jam?
Yeah, so I played River Jam. This year will be my second River Jam.
Second
River Jam, dude. It's nuts. I love playing.
Super cool.
Love playing.
I was wondering if they were gonna have it this year, just because they had that Rock the Country down there, and I was like, I didn't know if they were gonna. So I was super excited when they announced it. I actually have a wedding, so I'm not gonna be able to go this year.
I'm pumped about it, dude.
Congrats on getting married, Nick.
Yeah, congrats,
not
dude.
Not me. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's cool, like, to see artists kind of play in their hometown.
Yeah.
So we were just up in Illinois, in Bloomington, Illinois, and that's kind of like Bailey Zimmerman's hometown area. Right. So it was cool to see Bailey play there.
So
and
that's
like
home.
Yeah.
That's home. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, they do like a Tailgate and Tallboys Maxed, which is like a truck thing. And you know Bailey's like heavy into the truck world, as is his family.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. Like, that festival has kind of become like a hometown show for Bailey. Yeah. Like, he literally hung out for 3 days there.
Wow.
Instead of just coming in show day, they
partying
made it a
down
one
every
off.
Night.
Yeah, just
down.
Seeing all his friends and you know what I mean? Like, partying probably a little too much, maybe not enough, who knows? But it was cool just to like get to see that, because the hometown shows mean something, but when you get to do it at a big festival like that and it's a hometown show, just such a blessing.
It really is. Like, I feel like River Jam, like where I'm from. So I'm from Aragon, Georgia. So I'm right outside of Rome. So playing River Jam is like a big deal, you know. Like, girl, that was a big deal, you know. Like, my first River Jam I went to, I was in the audience. I saw Luke Bryan. I think that was in 2012.
Awesome.
Rain is a good thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I was like, man, one day I want to play that show, you know. So now I'm on it. Like, it's like you said, it's full circle, man. It's pretty cool.
Man, I love that, and it's so well deserved. You've been killing it, man. Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Like, getting to watch your music be played on radio and just watching you know, of course, the virility of like songs on the internet and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
How have you felt like it? Like, what has TikTok done for you or those platforms in general?
Man, TikTok has opened so many doors for me. I feel like, and like whenever I started on TikTok, it was like around the COVID era.
Yeah.
And everybody was on there dancing and all that stuff. I was like, I'm not dancing. No, I can't dance that well.
Yep.
So then I just started posting covers, man. And I felt like I reached a whole new audience of people that I normally wouldn't have reached if it had been like Facebook or Instagram, you know?
Like, so, Alicia Keys cover, is that kind of where that came from?
Yeah, dude. So one day we was actually on radio tour. Me and my guitar player, I call him T-South, we was out there, and I was like, dude, you know how to play that If I Ain't Got You song? And he started playing it, and as he was playing it, I was like, man, we got to put that in the set. The next night that we played it, dude, and everybody's like, holy crap. 2 months later, I put out my own cover, posted it up on TikTok, and it goes nuts. Like, everybody loved it.
So yeah, it's cool. Great.
So, yeah, man.
I love that, too. And it's honestly, the covers thing is kind of great because, I mean, historically through time, country artists have played other people's songs. And this is just another platform for you to show kind of what you love, whether Absolutely. It's in genre, outside of genre. Absolutely. It's kind of neat. And, like, I mean, you see a lot medleys in a lot of shows,
yeah, dude.
Which is just like a throwback to some stuff that artist loves. Or
Jelly Roll
loves.
Does a killer medley. Like, have y'all seen Jelly Roll's, like, the thing that he does? He does, like, a Eminem song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's
bad. He's all over the place.
Yeah, killer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since 2022. So, I don't think he...
It's wild since then.
Yeah.
The Jelly Show's nuts.
I need to go.
So, we just got to see him at a festival. And I got to see him last year at Bloomington.
Yeah.
And it was him and then Nickelback.
Oh, I bet that was crazy.
It was wild. And now he's, of course, headlining the festivals himself. But, like, man, what I talk about with Jelly is he's literally, like, preaching to his fans.
He really is.
About redemption. About, you know, that you can come back from things that are bad.
Like, he's been at the bottom, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's been at the bottom.
And he's just grinded his whole way to the top from the bottom, which is awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's rare.
It's super cool to see him kind of getting his time in the sun, you know?
Most definitely.
Yeah. Someone was telling me that, like, he can't even legally enter Australia.
Yeah.
He can't, dude. He's a felon.
He's a felon. He can't.
That's like, he can't even own the guns.
Yeah.
He can't even leave, like, he probably can't even leave, like, he cannot leave the States.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
Is that forever?
Yeah, man. I mean, or some, I bet you some countries will have, like, work. X amount of years, you know?
Yeah. So I know, like, if you have a DUI, like, it's harder to get into, like, to Canada, for example, or whatever.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere, dude.
No, he don't.
Yeah.
No, he's not going
nowhere. He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. That's wild, man, because he could all the shows over there that he's missing out on.
Yeah, but he has all these shows here. Where he's doing.
I mean, if I was going to be stuck in one country, it would be the number one country in the world, USA.
Come on, baby. Let's go.
This is big enough where it's like a bunch of countries put together. You
it
know?
Truly is. Yeah.
Man.
Shout out Jelly Roll. That guy's awesome.
He is, man.
I saw him at the Grammys in the bathroom. He was smoking a blunt with some guys. And I was like taking a piss. I'm like,
what
up, Jelly? He's like, hey, dude. He's like the nicest guy ever, man. Smoking in the boys' room. That guy's cool, man.
Well, speaking of, like, different genres, like, what did you listen to growing up? Like, did you listen to country? Did you listen to everything? And maybe some bands that you loved? You
know? Dude, I listened to a little bit of everything. But country was obviously, like, the main thing that I listened to.
Yeah.
But I love, like, listening to Alicia Keys, Usher. Yeah. Dude, I got on this Michael Jackson kick for a minute. And, like, I love MJ.
Yeah.
You know, so all that stuff.
What years were you, like, in school? Like, how old are you?
So I'm 26.
Yeah.
So I would have graduated in 2017, 2016, something like that.
Yep.
So yeah, dude. I was on everything, man.
That's how I was growing up too. I think Kurt.
My first CD I ever owned was the Spice Girls. And my uncle bought it for me and he's like, this new band's out and they're taking over the charts. And then the first record I bought myself was Melly Conley and the Fit and Sadness.
Smashing Pumpkins.
And then Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt.
Yeah.
And then I got into like the Cisco Thong Song.
Let's go.
Master P. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too much on the subject, but Puff Daddy Records. I had those as well.
No Diddy.
Yeah.
Can't go there now.
Yeah. And then eventually Nirvana and Green Day and all that.
Yeah. My dad always listened to country. So I had that. And he worked shift work. Yeah. So what he would do is he would play the clock radio loud enough where he couldn't hear us, you know, four boys running around the house. So I knew all of the 90s country songs because I was born in the 80s. So like in the 90s, I was actually like hearing music, you know, and then got into rock and roll from my older brothers.
Sick.
And so it's but like 2012, I went fully back into the country music world and just like fell in love with the whole genre and all of the fun surrounding it. Is there a better parking lot party than a country music parking lot party?
No. There's not.
No
but
way.
The thing is like for me, like, I wasn't listening to, I don't know. I was listening to, like, Keith Whitley, Conway, Merle Haggard, Brooks and Dunn. Like, I was a big Brooks and Dunn dude, man.
Yeah,
same.
I love Brooks and Dunn. I was listening to all that stuff. Like, yeah. I don't feel like I was listening to anything that was in my time, you know?
Yeah.
I was listening to everything that my grandpa loved.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's a big part of it, too.
Sounds like a song, really.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Everything my grandpa loved.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, like, a big part of it is who influences you. So, for me, being a son of a mother who listened to R&B and listened to, like, kind of like what would be called the oldies now.
Yeah.
And then my dad who listened to country. And then my brothers, who I thought were the coolest, listened kind of like grunge rock, rock and roll. Yeah. So all of that kind of influenced what I was, you know. But whenever I was in my car with my dad, it was always country music.
Absolutely.
Whenever I was in the call with my mom and dad, it was always what my mom would listen to. Because he's a smart man. He's a smart man.
No doubt.
But it's cool to see now, too. Like, the genre is so big that you're seeing things from different times come back. You're seeing things from different genres enter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think we were just talking post.
Yeah,
you know, we were... The Beyonce album is, like, you know, heavily influenced in the country genre. You're hearing Lana Del Rey talk about her country project that she had been working on. You know
what
I mean?
Wild, dude.
It's just, it's circling. But it also means that stuff that is traditional is working, too. Because it's just so big that there's enough space for all of it to exist.
Absolutely.
Which is super neat, honestly.
Yeah, it's like you have the freedom to write and put out whatever your heart, you know, feels. And it's like, there's room in the market for that to come out. It could be something super bubblegum pop, or it could be, you know, as traditional as it gets. And there's just, especially with, you know, like TikTok and the internet and all this, you could find your own fan base. It doesn't have to be what country radio sounds like right now.
For sure.
Well, and that's a cool part, too, is like there is a lane for everything, no matter what you call it genre-wise.
Most definitely.
And there's a lot of people that don't think they like country till they get served up a Dalton Dover song.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is country? I like this.
I like country now.
Yeah.
I remember I was playing in this wedding band living in Boston and not listening to country music at all. And I had no idea what was going on. And our singer was like, hey, we got to learn a country song for this wedding because they like country music. I was like, okay, cool. And so we were in the van and he put this song on. And it was like, boom, bam, 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 bam. And it was Country Girls Shake It For Me. And I was like, and then it was like, it kicked in. And it was just like, you know that Maxwell speaker ad where it's like the guy's in the chair and he's like getting blown back from the speaker?
Ooh, yeah.
And it was like, bam, 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 bam. And I was like, holy shit, this is country music? This fucking rocks, you know? And I was like, I didn't know. I thought it would be like real twangy and like piano ballady and stuff like this. And I was okay, I see why this is popular. You know, I was like, this song's, it was just such an obvious smash.
Yeah. It's cool to see that too. And I mean, dude, I was, first shows I went to and was in the pit for were like Darius and Luke Bryan and those guys, you know? And
they're like, whoa.
I'm like, what is going on?
Like,
when I realized that I could spend at that time $75 and I could have a club experience at a show like that, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, sign me up for that as often as I can.
That's the move.
And then they got to, I mean, they're not 75 anymore, but
true.
He will have that. Well, dude, let's talk about CMA Fest a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you played Dr. Pepper stage.
Yeah,
down there.
We was on the Dr. Pepper stage.
Yeah.
And this was really cool, man. The last 2 years I've done the Chevy Vibe stage, which is really fun. Like CM, that was my first CMA Fest. That was, this past CMA Fest was my third one.
Yeah.
And dude, like, it's so wild, man. Like,
the fans are nuts.
They're it's not, I'm not gonna say they're crazy because they're not crazy, but dude, they are crazy about the artists. They love us, dude.
Yes.
Like, there was, like, I was, my first CMA Fest, I was like, oh, nobody's gonna know me. Like, I'm gonna go out here and, you know, sing and, you know, I'm gonna make fans, but nobody's gonna know me when they see me. I was wrong, dude. Like, they, like, I had actual fans there, and I was like, holy shit, this is wild, dude. You know, like, how do you know who I am, you know?
That's, like, one of the things that I love the most about CMA Fest, and it's a lot, because it's long days, you know.
Long days.
You're like, hot out there in the sun.
Crap, so hot. This past one was perfect, though, dude.
Yeah,
the weather was
too
amazing.
Bad.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where the biggest fans of country music, this is their Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah,
it's where they can see 30 of their favorite artists, not just two.
Right.
You know, so it's before Raise Rowdy started, I was coming to CMA Fest with my buddies, you know.
That's wild.
And I would see Luke Combs play, you know. I would see, like, right when Hurricane was starting to get big, we got to see Luke. And
was that,
you know,
the HGTV thing? What stage was that?
The one that was the park stage.
Oh, Riverfront?
No, the park stage. So it was like Drake White, and then I don't know if y'all, I don't remember if you were in that.
It was probably before I played for Luke.
Yeah, I think it was before you played for Luke. But he played, and it was like right when Hurricane was starting to pop, you know? And we were like, oh, this dude's sick, you know? Yeah. And, but you could see the crowd swell for it. Yeah. So that's another thing that I kind of love about CMA Fest is you could kind of like watch when people start like congregating.
Right.
Like when Riley was like on the come up, but wasn't like as big as he is now, right. You got to see that whole area fill up for him before he was on.
Before he was Riley Green.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's one of those cool things where it's like, I feel like it's a show and prove thing, just like it is when you're playing a writer's round or you're playing a full band showcase in town. Yeah, it's just like the way bigger scale of that, you know?
Who had their moment this year, would you say? Like a,
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah, which I think like I saw Ward post Boozy.
She's Shaboozy. Blowing up and it's so good.
Nuts, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I heard that song for the first time and I'm like, I don't care what you call this, I call it good music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I love it. I think, and he actually had a... our buddy Luke that has played a couple of our events opened for him when he was in town. And I was like, man, it's so cool. Hmm. Just like giving a kid a chance, you know? I love
that. Yeah, that Tipsy song is everywhere.
Oh, it's one of the biggest songs. Like that song of the summer. It's either that or the Posty Morgan song.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's, I'm not just talking country. I'm talking that song of the summer.
For sure.
You know, like all genres. It's wild, you know? So it's like, it's one of those things where it's cool that that's starting to happen in the genre, because all that does is brings more fans in lets more people kind of see what's going on.
For sure.
Yeah, the rising tide raises all ships. So more country music fans we get, then all the artists win and all the band guys win and whatever Nick is wins too.
Yeah, I don't know what I am yet. Yeah.
All the good boys.
I like to say I'm like A&R for the fans, you know?
Hell yeah, you are, man. No doubt. For me too. You put me on so much good music, man. Well, over the years.
Yeah, that's I remember like I had a radio show back in Pittsburgh. And that's what we were like chatting with a little bit before. Yep. Kurt was like, well, I'll be on the radio show with you. I'm like, come on, let's go. And then he would introduce me to songs. He'd be like, can we play this song this week? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know it, but I'm down. And I would do the same thing with him. So it was like, it was a really cool way of having, it's kind of like building your own playlist, but to 7,000 other people or whatever, you know?
So, is that how many people listen to the radio?
Yeah, I think so. That's on our show.
Oh, yeah, Sunday nights.
Yeah, we were Sunday nights. But they let us be editorial.
Yeah.
So, like, I could get on there and I could play stuff that wasn't sent to radio.
Play like whatever you wanted.
Or, like, I could play a B-side song of you. You know what I mean? Instead of just playing your single that was on radio, they would let me play whatever and just tell the story.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's awesome.
It was cool. It was fun. We just... it took a lot of our hours because we didn't know how to make a radio show, really.
Yeah.
You learn that... not having the proficiencies and all of that stuff can end up being hard.
I was also like really bad on the mic.
Till like you starting it.
Yeah, true. I was like, this next song is called, it's by Eric Church. Okay, here we go.
Well, and then we would re-record it.
All right, do it again. Like, Round Here Buzz by Eric Church. Like, cool. Nailed it.
Well, that's one of the things too. Kurt and I talk about when we talk about this podcast, we're like, well, we aren't the most radio vocal people.
As you messed it up, right? Yeah,
totally messed it up. But this podcast, like the Razor Rowdy podcast, comes from just me being a fan of music.
Right.
And we were doing it in green rooms before we had anything in town. Right. You know, so it was for fans by fans. And now we kind of get the perspective of the fan side with me.
Yeah, dude.
And then also we get the other side of the stage with Kurt, like the musician side.
No, that's freaking awesome, dude. I want to start a podcast. I want to start my own. I'm going to call it, Double D's, dude.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Double D's podcast.
Provocative. Yeah. I love it.
Razor Rowdy Podcast Network. Let's talk about it. Yeah. We'll get y'all set up. Yeah.
What would you cover? What's your non-music hobby? You got
hunting, dude. Hunting, fishing. I love hunting, though, man. Anything hunting, I'm into it.
What, anything specific that you love the most or whatever?
Probably just deer, man.
Deer.
Yeah, I love deer hunting, dude.
Kill shit till I die.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's go.
I have a little ADHD. So when I was a kid, my dad was like, you can come out, but we got to sit there all day.
Be quiet.
Yeah, and you can't talk. Don't you can't have music playing.
Don't say nothing.
And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Don't breathe. Yeah. Don't blink.
Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm good. So I never really got into hunting. I would fish because I could cast my line long, and then I could cast short and get like little panfish and stuff, you know? So I could fish fine, you know, because it was enough. But.
And you could drink more beer, I feel like, when you're not shooting guns.
This was pre.
That's true.
My buddies last Thanksgiving were like, come down. They have 5,000 acres in Alabama.
Yeah.
The Shackelford Lane boys. And they were like, why don't you come down over Thanksgiving? Because I wasn't going home for Thanksgiving. They're like, and deer hunt out of one of our stands that we know gets good deer.
Did you do it?
But no. It didn't end up working out. My car was just too messed up. Now I have a car that I would feel comfortable driving down there.
Yeah.
I don't think my car would have made it down there. So maybe I might have to take them up on it this year. But they're like, we'll get you all set up, and we'll put you in the stand where we know deer go by every day.
Yeah,
and they're like,
get you one.
They're like, if you don't get a deer, it's because you didn't shoot it right.
So I was on a plane, and I was sitting next to our tour manager who's like obsessed with hunting, you know? And I had a book. I forget what I was reading, some novel, and he was reading this book. It was like an 80-page book on deer hunting tips or whatever. And we just like swap books, and I'm not a hunter at all. I've never gone hunting. And I just was reading this book on it. It was like the intricacies of what people think about. It's like crazy. It's like if the wind's blowing, making sure that your scent is like downwinds or, you know, like all this stuff. I don't even know, man. It's like I could see how you could have a podcast about it because there's just so much to talk about. And,
so much, man.
Yeah.
And every time you go out there, it's always something you learn something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Well, and it's that thing where, you know, everybody hates getting out of bed in the morning, but not when you're going hunting.
Yeah, not when
you know?
You're going hunting.
It's like it's one of those things where it's...
Unless you go a few times and don't see anything, then you're like, oh, I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking of some stories, like of some buddies. We were at this bar, and they were supposed to go hunting in the morning, and we were just drinking beers. The beers were flowing like wine, as they say. And they're like, all right, well, we got to get up at 5 a.m. to go hunting. And he's like, yeah, I'll get up. And there was a bet made on if they would get up or not, and they did not.
They slept in.
Yeah, $200.
Yeah. Slept in.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to sleep. That's like Matt. We'll go to these festivals, and he's like, it's 5 hours. I want to drive home. I'm like, you're crazy, dude. I'm so dead, you know? But he's used to being on the road in vans and stuff where that was what you did, you know?
That's TM life, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That's it.
That's kind of where we're at now. We'll go play a show. Like, we're driving. We'll drive to Colorado in the morning, and then we'll drive right back.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be back soon.
Are you guys doing the van life?
So we're in, like, a Sprinter van. Like, we have beds and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
It's nice. So, like, we've not had to do the van yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice having the Sprinter, dude.
Yeah.
So nice.
Because even if you can't all sleep, just having where you can sleep a little, you know, and if you can all sleep, great.
Heck yeah, dude.
Do you guys switch off, like, driving, or do you have a driver?
Dude, my TM and my drummer are, like, the drivers.
The
and they
dogs,
they
the
Yeah,
road
they
dogs.
Love driving. Yeah, they're the road dogs. They'll stay up all night and drive.
That's great.
Yeah, man, and we'll just be back there either crashing or playing Fortnite or something.
Video games.
Yeah, I was about to say Fortnite or something, just back there chilling.
That's Dalton and I have played Fortnite a few times. I got Kurt on there, but he don't get on too much. He's a busy boy.
Kurt,
you know?
You gotta get on, dude.
I'm down, man. I gotta give you my Xbox
handle.
Yeah, handle or whatever.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
But it's fun. That's what I talked to Matt about. I'm like, honestly, it's like networking without having to go to Red Door and spend $100 on beer. You know?
I know our monitor guy was playing Call of Duty with Luke and the guys, and his wife was like, hey, will you help me with this? He's like, I can't right now. I'm working. It was during coronavirus or whatever. And she's like, you're playing video games. And so he takes puts the headset on his wife, and it's Luke going to Maggie. He's like, hey, Zeus is working right now. I need him on my squad. So I'm paying his salary, so he's playing Call of Duty right now. She's like, all right.
Whatever you say.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's so funny, though, because as guys – I can't tell you too many times where I had a 2-hour conversation with my buddies on the phone.
Right.
Right.
But on Fortnite.
Yeah.
On Fortnite, we chop it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there's something to talk about, you know? In that game, I think I used to play Call of Duty a lot. Before Call of Duty, I played SOCOM. Call of Duty is cool, but it's there's no silliness in it unless you create it yourself. Where Fortnite kind of built in silliness.
Right.
Right. Where I'm okay, this is fun and I'm trying to win, but at the same time, I can mess off for a couple minutes and everybody's having a good time still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why.
And all the guns and everything are purple and shiny. It's like a kid's vibe or whatever. But it's fun, though.
Or there's like a car come by you with a freaking grenade shooting out the top of it, and you're just like jumping all around, like dodging.
It's kind of like the game reminds me of something like a kid would make. You know what I mean? It's just like a dream that you would have as a kid. Like,
yes.
So dude, imagine having your own character on Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine having like a... Like, imagine having your face as a character and you're like playing on there.
Metallica's on there now.
Yeah, I had a, I have Eminem.
Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead. Let's go.
Yeah, cool. I got to hang out and have some drinks with Ninja. That's my Fortnite story. If you're hip to that streamer, Ninja,
he's like one of the biggest.
One of the biggest streamers I've heard of.
Yeah. Like he was in Luke's green room hanging out, and he's got like blue hair. Him and his wife Jessica, they're super nice. I'm like, hey, I didn't know what they did. I'm like, talk to them about music for 25 minutes. I'm like, what do y'all do? And they're like, oh, we're streamers. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. And so I picked his brain about that. And he's like, yeah, man, it's great, you know. And I'm like, well, it's got to be harder than people think. And he's like, no.
Dude, you literally just like go live.
Yeah.
It's like you're going live while the people watch you play your game. Or whatever you're streaming, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So he told me, if you're in the top 3% of whatever it is that you do, that people will watch you do it. And so if you quilt or fish or Fortnite or whatever you're good at and you can get on there and stream it, like you can make money doing it.
For sure.
It's super cool.
And I was like, Twitch, like you watch people play video games? That sounds lame.
Dude, I will lay in the bed and like
go
scroll through lives, and like if somebody's playing Fortnite, I'm watching.
I know.
I'm just watching for no reason.
I do that with chess, man. I'm like, because like there's these like grandmasters and they're just playing. They're like, hey, knight F3, I'm doing this. You know, this is part of the Ruy Lopez opening that I play, and this is why I do, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, oh, that's how they do that. And then you watch other people play the games you like, and then it's like they're better than you, so you just copy them and then you're better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like playing a guitar lick from an artist that you love, you know?
True. Da, 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 da. I don't really watch a lot of Twitch music, though, or anything.
I don't either.
Or YouTube.
I wonder if there's a market for that.
Probably. There is, but
I'm sure.
If they're not doing it right, I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Well, maybe they're not top 3%.
We've been going, true. We've been going live like with Tyler, like on the sound checks and stuff. It's been super fun.
Which I enjoy watching those, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, y'all are so badass.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, y'all's band is killer.
Yeah, my mom texted me the other day. She's like, how do I watch TikTok? I'm like, this is how you do it. And she's like, she figures it out. But then you go on there and just scroll through the TikTok lives. And there's some weird shit going down.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
Dude.
Oh, my
God. So weird.
There's strange folks.
Dude, there's this one guy that's he goes TikTok live and he's like drew all over himself. Like, so everybody that like sends a gift or something, he writes their name on his body. And he's sitting there like just a big old fat guy just dancing around, like, you know, with marker all over his body. And I'm just like, wow. And there's like 20,000 people watching him at all times.
So jeez.
Yeah, nuts.
I remember hearing about a live stream where a guy was live stream while he was sleeping. And if you paid money, you could have it make a specific noise that would just like wake him up.
I saw that.
I was like, what? So you're literally torturing yourself for money? Like, cool.
That's unbelievable.
Or have a big old alarm right beside his ear while he's asleep.
Yeah.
And like if you send like two roses, it'll go...
Yeah, I had this idea for a Twitch stream. Tell me what you think of it. It's retro video games, kind of like Mario Kart and stuff like that. But while we're doing it, we're playing it and we're asking questions at the same time. So it's like an interview, but it's while you're playing the game.
That's the move, dude.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
I think we should.
All right.
If Kurt don't want to do
it.
No,
I'm down. I'm down. I'll smoke y'all in some Smash Brothers for sure.
That's my thought is like a game that like everyone kind of knows, but maybe no one's great at.
Yeah.
And then have some questions that you're answering while you're doing it. Like on
dude,
like,
that's the
even
move.
If you just do it not on a live stream. I don't know. Live stream seems right though. But in my head too, you could have like.
Coming soon, y'all.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
You know the clips where it's like something up top and then something not related down bottom? Imagine if the thing down bottom was the video game that you were actually playing.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
And then the top is just us talking about
it. Yeah, that would. I feel like that would be a hit.
Yeah. All right. Nobody steal that. Someone
play. Hey.
It's just pointing. We want a third.
Yeah. What? I mean, what game would we play, though? Like Mario Kart?
I think retro games, and you just don't do the same game all the time.
What if it was Pac-Man?
Yeah. Like Pac-Man or like... Mario Kart, where you could all play together. Yeah, Smash Brothers would be great. Mm-hmm. Like, even
Donkey Kong, dude.
Oh, yeah. Or, like,
I'll just, like, have some guests over, and I just, like, embarrass them in Smash Brothers, and they don't come back on the podcast.
Or are you really good at Smash Brothers?
I used to be pretty good. I'm afraid to say, like, I'm, like, really great at it, because there's some people out there that are, like,
really great,
dedicate their lives to that. But there's different versions, and I grew up with the 64 version, and so we would in college, it, you know, N64 was already retro then, and so we would just, weekends would be Smash Brothers tournaments, and me, my buddy Eric, Brett, Sean, and a couple other guys, we'd get some beer and play that game. And I remember I moved into this basement apartment, and there was a 3-bedroom apartment, and the next door was a studio. And there's this guy named Eric living next door. And I didn't know him at all. And he went to Northeastern. We were all like, we were all to Berkeley. So I walked over and I knocked on the door. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, hey, I just moved in next door. I got some beer. I don't know if you like drinking beer. And I also have some video games. I don't know if you like, you know, that, but we're going to drink beer and play video games. He's like, yeah, man. Like, yeah, I guess that sounds pretty cool. Turns out, like, he just loved, like, beer and loved video games. And, like, all we did was, like, play Smash, like, all the time and drink Miller's. Good times, man. But, yeah, so Smash Brothers for sure, N64. I was always Donkey Kong, and you can, like, grab people and put them on your back and then, like, jump off the edge, you know?
Dude, we got to play it because I'm terrible at that. And I have it at the house, so we got to play it.
Done.
Yeah.
Let's go, dude.
All right, well, enough about video games, I guess. So what do you guys have? I know you talked about going up to Canada.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys have on the docket for the year?
Man, so much new music, first off. So
yes.
On the 28th of this month, I believe, we're releasing a new single called Here's the Deal.
Yeah.
I've had this song kind of in my back pocket for a while. When I first started coming into town, I did not know what getting pitched a song means or an outside song or nothing like that, but I've always been a huge Hardy fan, and I got like a handful of Hardy songs that they was like, dude, we think you would kill these.
Yeah.
And there's a specific song called Here's the Deal that I cut. Man, I'm so excited about it.
It's amazing.
Man, we're out on tour with Sam Hunt coming up soon. I'm really pumped about that. It's playing some of the biggest stages of my life that I'm really excited.
That's so great.
I love those boys. They're talented, man.
Dude, Sam and I are from the same exact county in Georgia.
Crazy.
And like, it's kind of like, so, like, just all around, like, just wild, really, because, like, coming up, Sam's a lot older than me, you know, but you always hear Sam Hunt in town, you know, so now that I know the guy, I'm going on the road with him, and, like, we're signed to the same label, like, dude, it's so wild.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a learning experience, too, I feel like.
For getting sure.
What are you guys doing, like, sheds, or what's the tour like?
Dude, we're playing a few arenas. Yeah, man, I'm really excited, dude. I'm really excited. I was out with Parker, and I've done amphitheaters like kind of for the first time.
Yeah,
and that was crazy. But like now, I feel like it's kind of going up a little bit to not kind of the next step. I'm really pumped about it.
Man, that's super cool. Yeah. It's sheds are kind of where like my love and obsession with music came when I realized that I could get that like club show experience in the pit of a shed. I was just like, whoa.
This is the move.
Yeah, dude. All the great music. I love those, especially in the summertime.
Yeah, everybody's having the best time. The tailgates are elite.
See, I wish I would have got, like, I wanted to see, like, I'm such a huge Luke fan, dude. I don't even know if you know. One of my biggest, like, Luke is probably one of my biggest inspirations. And, like, I've looked up to Luke since he come out. There's a video. So I'm going to tell you this. I've never told this story before. And my buddy, his name's Benji, he had a party at his house one night. And this is when Hurricane was coming around. And you guys had posted a video. It looked like y'all was maybe of sitting on a balcony of a hotel or something. And
that was
you,
my condo.
Okay,
my
you house, was on your dobro. Luke had a yellow capo. Mm-hmm. Y'all played a show somewhere where somehow or another somebody stole Luke's capo. And it was sitting, this dude had Luke's capo. He's like, dude, this is Luke's capo. And I was like, no, bullshit. No, it's not. I got the capo.
Oh.
I still got it, yeah. I've still got the yellow capo.
All right, well, maybe
I'm not giving it back.
I was going to say, give it to him.
Swap it for a new one.
Swap it for a co-writing
session. No, dude, that was really cool for me. I love Luke, dude. I got to meet him at the BMI Awards last year, and, dude, I was, like, so I don't really get starstruck, you know?
Yeah.
But
with
Luke, I was like, holy shit, this is pretty cool.
I think we all have that one person that would kind of do it.
Yeah. Mine's Luke, for sure.
I, like, lost all of my words when I met Eric Church the first time. I had this like whole thing in my head that I was gonna say, and then I was just like, music, very good. And I've like met Luke, but not extensively, where I've like talked to him. And he played for Kurt's birthday. We had a Make Wake takeover,
yeah.
And Luke played at Live Oak for us.
Oh, I bet
at my writer's round.
It was bonkers.
It was month five of me having a writer's round in town. Kurt, of course, is taking photos for us the whole time. It just lines up that show is on his actual birthday. And then they tell us that Luke's going to play it. And I was like, Kurt and I were on a phone call, and we were both in disbelief, and Kurt's in the band. You know? He was still in disbelief.
It was so much fun.
It was like a fever dream.
That sounds all fun.
Yeah. That whole day was like a fever dream where it like felt like it almost wasn't real.
Flatland played. Full band.
Oh,
that was crazy.
I think it was one of their first times like really doing a showcase in Nashville. And then it was Haley, Drew, and Luke on the last set.
I knew that was wild.
It was absurd.
Yeah. So.
And then Kurt was very drunk because it was his birthday.
Not Kurt. I couldn't see Kurt drunk.
And Luke was like, hey, you want to get up and play one with me? And Kurt was like 7 or 8 shots deep.
Was you like, hell yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He still
like,
had it.
I remember he's like, well, what do you want to play? I'm like, she got the best of me because it's easy. I don't want to play anything hard, you know, play something fat, like one too many, like trying to chicken pick on an acoustic guitar drunk. I'm like, that's not going to
happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, man, it's for me coming from just literally being a fan of music, moving to Nashville. Everybody said I had to move to Nashville. Then I did, and it started like pumping. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I guess that's why. And then getting to have Kurt on the podcast with me as my co-host all the time. Good, we're going to have him do his first episode without me here in a few weeks.
Dude, I feel like you're going to kill it.
Yeah, he's going to do great.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know.
But I've done some without him because, you know, he's a busy man.
Yeah.
True.
Busy.
But that'll be our first one without me on it. I'm excited for it, honestly.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, awesome. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
What was the show where I met you? If you're 25 or 26 now, you must have been 21 or something.
Yeah, you met me. Golly, man, I honestly can't remember. But
wasn't it somewhere you played acoustic just by yourself? And maybe like Adam Church also played somewhere.
Yeah, so it was in Atlanta at the Roxy.
Okay,
it was at the Roxy, and
it was the day before. So we would have parties the day before our
tailgate
show.
The tailgate party. I played the tailgate party the day that y'all played the stadium. It was my first time ever seeing Luke play. It was my first time ever seeing y'all show, and we was in holy crap, dude. We was in I can't even remember.
Was Cody Johnson on that show with us? Kojo?
It was Atlanta.
Yeah, at Mercedes-Benz.
It was Kojo and Flatland. Flatland?
No. I don't even remember.
But that's where I met you.
Yeah.
We was backstage, yeah.
But then also, wasn't there like the day before the show there was a party at a club also, right?
Yeah.
Didn't we used to do that like we'd have these like fan club parties.
Yeah, and
where
Adam played it, and I went up acoustic, and like he let me play some songs and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, like that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
and I got up and played bass. Or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's some photos of me like playing on stage with Adam's band that night because like all Luke's band, and then we all got up and traded instruments and played different songs and jammed and everything.
That was the first time that I'd met you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the first time that I met you.
Man, I think in person was at a bar in Rome. Like we were down there and you were playing a acoustic show down at like Giggity's or somewhere.
Holy shit, that's
what
wild.
A great name for a bar.
Giggity.
Because like I know they don't usually have music, but I think they had it because like the festival's in town.
Yeah, I think it was River Jam, right?
Yeah.
It was when Morgan come to River Jam, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah. I think that's it. But I'd met you twice in Rome before I met you in Nashville.
Got you.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Which,
dude.
Like, just when you were playing in Rome.
Right.
Because we would go down to Peaches or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But we would, like, go out in Giggity. And then we had, like, a couple of our friends were from the area.
Yeah.
So, like, we would go down to some of the shows there. And I forget what the second one was, but I ran into you twice in Rome.
It had to be, like, Brew House.
Yeah.
Kurt, did you ever play Brew House with Luke?
Yes. I think with Job Fortner opening.
Yeah, and Job, yeah.
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 Crazy.
If memory serves.
That was back kind of in the heyday, dude. That
2017
was
maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think something
but
like that.
I think that's where we first met. We'd like internet talked before that, but I think that was the first time we'd like met.
That's
was
wild,
down there.
That's
yeah,
wild.
Man. it seems like so short of a time ago, but also so long ago. Yeah, because here we are. I mean, that was probably 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, I wasn't even, TikTok wasn't even around for me then. Yeah.
Yeah, you were just pumping on regular Instagram and like everybody knew you had a damn good voice, you know? But man, yeah, it's like, it's crazy how time feels so short and so long at the same time.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah, I was like reading about how like having new experiences kind of slows down your perception of time. You know, if you're doing the same thing all the time, then it all kind of...
Time goes like...
Yeah, like so you're, when you're doing new, interesting things, it kind of makes it feel like you're enjoying the time more, I guess.
Makes sense.
Dude, it seems like time flies by for me these days. Yeah. Man, I'm sure it is for
you're
guys.
You're busy.
Yeah, time is like... It's like... I was just talking about the show that I'm playing Friday night. I remember talking about it like 3 months ago. Like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like now we're about to play the show.
Crazy.
Yeah, man. Like time like does not slow down at all.
That's what, with as busy as life has gotten, it feels like the years have just been starting to go quick.
For sure.
Especially when you're older.
Yeah, I'm old as heck.
Yeah. Dude, I'm old too, man.
I feel like I moved to Nashville in 2012. I feel like 2012 was like 2 years, 2013 was like a year, and then like 2014 to now was like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, when did everything go?
The reason that Kurt and I think became good buds is because he just happened to have time when I moved down. Like, we were kind of buds before.
Y'all just started kicking it and stuff, just hanging out.
We would just smoke cigars on his porch six feet apart, you know?
True.
And like,
we should do that later, actually.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, as long as it's not raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where everything kind of happens for a reason, and time.
For sure.
If you push hard enough, your time will come if you keep pushing hard.
Most definitely, dude.
And I love watching your thing keep growing, man.
Thank you, brother.
It's been powerful to watch, man.
Means the world, dude.
Everybody's known you've had the talent forever, right? Like you said, even in church. But talent, what everybody doesn't understand is talent isn't the whole thing.
It's not the whole thing. Not even close.
It's work. It's perseverance. Yes. It's taking those no's and turning them into yeses. Yeah. It's being a good person to people you need to be good people to.
Preach it, Nick.
Yeah.
Let's go, pastor. Yeah.
But it really is, man. It takes a team around you helping you push.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
It's about figuring out what you want to put in the world and putting it out. And I love watching you do that.
Man, I just feel like I've just learned just being a good fucking person and just kind of like, you know, being a good hang and like, you know, being able to, you know.
That's your reputation in town, man.
It is.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, I'm not making it up. You know, don't thank me.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And that's very important because, I mean, you know, around the country, everybody doesn't hear all of the stuff. But if someone's reputation is not great in town, you hear little rumblings of it, you know? But, man, and that's one of the things that I've always talked about is I want to be someone that people think of well. And I want to surround myself with people
like that, too.
And, man, if you think about a team, you want them rooting for you because they're working extra hard for you because they know you're a good guy and you deserve it.
For sure.
You know?
Most definitely.
They better be working hard for you.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got one of the best teams in town, dude.
That's the best, man.
One of the best teams.
And that's like after I worked at a record label, I kind of understood it. I was like, oh, it takes people all pushing together in the same direction.
Like it's not just one person. It's not just two. It's like the whole entire group working like it's different branches and everybody works together, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a team. It's like if you make it, we make it. You know? It's like a team. You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
It's neat, man. And I get to see that all the while. Like I share a space with Muscadine Bloodline.
Yeah.
So I got to see how it works for them being independent and kind of pushing themselves. Right. But they wear 10 hats each, you know?
For sure.
Like, so it's like they're wearing manager hats, even though they have a manager and have booking and everything. Right. But, you know, they are thinking about all of the business side of things. Yeah. Like, you don't have to unless you want to if you have, you know, the right people in your corner that are doing that for you.
Sure.
You know, so it's like it's super interesting just seeing all the different paths. But, man, the power of 30 people with the same idea pushing forward,
goals,
all talented, is amazing. And, dude, it's same thing with having the right guys in your band.
Absolutely.
You know, those are your brothers. You got to live on the road with
them.
You know, you got to have people that you love on your crew.
Absolutely. Do you guys ever argue on the road? Do y'all ever have disagreements?
I will say, and then no one's going to believe me when I say this, but not really. Everyone, of course, is little things, you know, and we pick on each other and stuff. But the way that Luke carries himself is like sets the tone of what it's like to work for him. And he's just literally the best boss ever in the history of the world. And everyone that works with him kind of like understands that and like works to be that way. And like our tour manager says, like, I'm like, damn, like you're busting your ass. He's like, I'm just trying to be the Luke Combs of my job, you know? And so like we all try to get our shit done. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we like to have fun and we're chill too. It's like it's the best. I've gotten to tour with a lot of different acts and I've been extremely lucky that haven't had to deal with like any like fighting or anything like bad like that. But this is absolutely the best camp to be in, and it's not even close. Like
that's
it's
incredible, dude.
Yeah,
that's
it's awesome. The best. And we've had sorry to interrupt you, Nick, yeah. But we've had like some guys come in and you know kind of ruffle their feathers and blah blah blah, and it just they don't really last that long if they don't get the vibe,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing too, is surrounding yourself by people that you mm-hmm. see yourself in and that you see them in you. You
for
know,
sure, dude.
It's I think that's an important thing for longevity, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's also a lot easier to not have to worry about, like, fighting and stuff when you're doing what Luke's doing. Just everything's easier. You know, it's like we're playing all these hit songs, so playing the show's easier. The fans are right. There, you know, so it's yeah. Less like having to scrape and get by and, you know, fight. You know, it's more sure. Like...
I talk about that, too. It's like... Having worked at a record label and then having ran Raise Rowdy for a few years before that,
yeah.
It's like, man, these PR people that are pitching record label songs that are getting coverage easily, that's killer, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, but the indie folks that are pitching people that no one's heard of yet that might still be great music, yeah. You know?
It's kind of probably more difficult, right?
It is, yeah. And you kind of see that and you're like, man, I appreciate their grind, you know?
Yeah.
And... It's an interesting thing kind of thinking about that side of it. Stuff that I never thought about before I moved to town or before I got to see what it looked like inside of a record label. I feel like I got like a college degree in knowledge, like just from just getting to see behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, man. Craziness. I never even thought that I would be playing for an artist on a label. You know, I never thought I'd be on tour bus. My biggest goal in my life was to pay my bills with music. And I did that when I was playing weddings and teaching guitar. And I was like, I've made it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, somehow I ended up doing this stuff, you know, having a cool podcast and playing shows with Luke and everything. It's just, yeah. I never would have dreamed this would have happened in a million years. And it's great.
Same here, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What are some dream venues that you have? Like stuff that...
I was just thinking that earlier. That's
yeah.
Dude, I would love to play Red Rocks.
Yeah.
That's like a dream venue for me. I would love to play Red Rocks. Honestly, anywhere that I haven't played.
Yeah.
Anywhere that's like next step for me, you know?
Yeah.
I would love it.
What are like... have you played Georgia Theater?
I have. I've done Georgia Theater, but I've not headlined there yet. Mm-hmm. So that would
we'll have
be...
have to talk to Bradley.
Yeah, yeah. That would be... That
you
would
know
be,
a guy.
Yeah.
Bradley, yeah, man.
Mercedes Benz, you know, gotta
let's get it.
Man, it's super cool. I got to go to Georgia Theater for the first time with Kurt, and we saw Flatland there. And the history of that room that I know about, but getting to actually experience it and hearing how good it sounds in there,
right?
That's a really cool room. Any like pinch me moments that you've had in recently, or
oh man, so many. I mean, from the Opry to meeting Luke to you know. Even just being around some of my favorite people that are in the industry every day, you know? There's so many.
How about co-writes? Any co-writes that you had recently that you loved or any you have on the books, maybe?
Man, anytime that I get to ride with any of my guys, like Maxwell, Dan, Reed, you know, Jamie, any of them.
We got to talk about that. That's something I almost forgot. I mean, I did forget until you brought it up. It's funny that because Jamie Davis, you know, he plays in Luke's band.
Yeah.
And Dan, it's like, awesome. You're right with all the homies.
They're my boys, dude. They're my boys, man. We actually all wrote my single at radio right now. Mm-hmm. Bury Me. Yeah, dude. We all wrote Bury Me in This Bar. And that was so crazy because going in, like, I literally wrote, with Luke's whole band that day.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't even know, like, that Dan and Luke was tied or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But we just all hit it off and go in and we started playing and we started writing this song. And later on, I find out all this shit. I'm like, wow, that's pretty fucking cool. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Man, how did you meet Maxwell? Because Alex Maxwell is one of our homies.
Yeah, so Catino. Dude. Alex was one of my first couple rights in town, and we wrote a song called Dirt Roads and Jesus together that I put out. And, man, that's one of my that's my boy, dude. I love him.
Me too, man.
That's my boy.
I love Maxwell. I remember, I would talk about Alex a lot, and I'd talk about our buddy Trey Bonner, and then Kirk got to hang with him. He's like, yep, I get it. Yeah.
And they're good at Fortnite.
Yeah, better than us. Yeah. But it's just like, he's like, dude, that Bonner guy's hilarious. And Maxwell, awesome. Dude, I was like,
Bonner's so funny, man.
He is. Our buddy, he was on Trey Lewis's podcast for a while, as a second or third seat. And Bonner is one of those dudes that is just low-key hilarious in life, right? You have him out shooting photos or something, and he's hilarious. He's a little self-deprecating, but even not, he's just hilarious.
Yeah. I loved his introduction of us at Ray's when we done the show the other day.
Yeah.
His introduction of us when he'd come up on stage, that was pretty cool.
So great.
Yeah, he kicked ass.
But, man, it's cool to get to watch that grow for you, man. And
thank
it's
you, bro.
Honestly couldn't happen to a better guy, and I'm not just saying that.
Well, that means the world. Thank you, brother. Thank you guys so much, man.
Dude, thank you.
Well, everyone go follow Dalton, of course, that you do already, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Make sure you check out his tour dates, so when you get some of those bucket list venues, you can go watch
them. Come, you better get drunk. You better keep the cold beer in the hand. Buy merch.
And June 28th.
June 28th.
New song dropping.
Here's the deal, baby.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, dude.
We're going to all go stream that, aren't we?
Yep. That'll be on the Raise Rowdy playlist
stream,
for sure,
stream,
man.
Stream.
Hell yeah.
We appreciate you coming out here. I know you're a busy man when you're in town.
Thank
you
all so much for having me,
dude,
bro.
Thank you so much.
For sure.
Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row.